Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the Finance Minister, Michael McGrath, yesterday confirmed that he'll bring a memo to Cabinet this week to introduce the new 15% global corporate tax rate for multinational companies in Ireland next year. Ireland agreed to join the OECD framework for a global rate of 15% in October of 2021. Now, the Minister explained that a top-up tax of 2.5% will be applied to companies with a turnover of 750 million euro or more. That'll bring Ireland in line with other countries. Smaller businesses won't have to pay that additional levy and they'll continue to be taxed at the lower rate of 12.5%. Corporation tax receipts last year amounted to 22.6 billion euro. That's nearly 50% higher than 2021. And for the first time ever, it was the largest, second largest source of tax revenue for the government. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Professor Stephen Kinsella, Professor of Economics at University of Limerick and also Chief Economics Writer at The Currency. Stephen, thanks very much for joining us today. So it's fairly clear what the plan is. The explanation is crystal clear, but the government needs to come up with a way to collect that extra tax from big companies. And how tricky will that be?
Well, I think that the context here is really important, Claire. So there's a process, an international process signed up to by more than 130 countries called the Base Erosion and Profit Sharing Scheme. And there's a number of pillars to it, but the two big pillars that matter to us right now, pillar one, which is very slow to be enacted, but essentially that wants firms to reallocate portions of profits to places where they're actually earned. So if you sell an iPhone in Germany, you book the profits in Germany and so forth. Right now, that's happening in Dublin. And the second pillar is around the minimum tax rate. So this is where, as you described, companies with very large turnovers, 750 million euros and more, have this extra 2.5% topped up. So what's going to happen essentially is the government needs to put in place a process for actually collecting that tax from these companies and then identifying which companies are actually in the firing range, if you like, for that. So, you know, if you're a big company, you've got a very good year, maybe you've got 750 million in turnover. If you've got not such a good year, maybe it drops below, and so you don't get the extra 2.5%, and so forth. So it's quite a complicated exercise in practice. And they're going to have to introduce new systems in order to do that.
And the minister has said, and I'm paraphrasing, that this measure isn't going to hit us as hard as another one we have to deal with. This is the reallocation of taxing rights. Why is that a big concern, Stephen?
Well, the 2.5% issue, which is pillar, which is confusingly, which is pillar two, it's the second one, the 2.5% increase. What that's going to do is that's been very well flagged, right? So every corporate treasurer in the world knows that this is coming, and they've been able to plan for it. They've been able to structure their balance sheets in order to get around it. And without putting too fine a point, it'll be grand. And these companies are making more than enough money, Claire. It'll be no bother. The second issue is way more important because Ireland currently serves as a multinational export hub for two or three major sectors. So you've obviously got tech, then you've got pharma, and then you've got food. And there are a couple of other smaller ones, but those are the big ones. And if these companies are forced to alter how they actually assess where the taxes are due, then those taxes may well be due elsewhere. If that's the case, the corporation tax rate, corporation tax level here will fall. So the average person won't feel any difference, but just every year the Minister of Finance will be getting in less and less corporation tax, which is obviously very important. As you said at the top of the piece, this is now the second largest head in terms of our taxes. If you lose, say, the Department of Finance is guiding between 2 and 4 billion of a loss. We were in surplus by 5 billion last year, and you know we're using that to fund new hospital beds, new roads, new schools, and so forth. If that's not there, then all of a sudden, all the things that all the political parties are promising, all the things that people need, including of course housing, become much more difficult to deliver.
Mm-hmm. And do you agree with the Department of Finance assessment that it will be between 2 and 4 billion that we'll be down on this?
I think the Department of Finance has historically guided extremely.
Oh, that sounds like Stephen's line is gone. Oh, Stephen, sorry, your line just dropped there. We just got you saying
sorry.
That you were giving your take on the guidance from the department.
Yeah, so I think the department has been extremely prudent with all of its assessments. My take in the last 2 years was that corporation tax was going to rise substantially because I was looking at the balance sheets of these firms. I think it's going to continue to rise at least for the next year or two. For two reasons. The first is these firms are cutting back on costs, but their revenues are staying roughly flat, which means their profits are going to rise, which means the taxes are going to go up. But the second thing is this pillar one, is taking an extremely long time to actually implement. So while the evil day may come, it may not come too soon.
Mm-hmm. Multinationals have said, many of them in the recent past, that the housing crisis here is impacting their ability to expand to hire skilled staff. So then that, coupled with what we're seeing here with the tax changes, will that add another headache for the people who are trying to attract more foreign direct investment?
Certainly, if I was the head of the IDA or the head of Enterprise Ireland, I would be banging on the housing minister's door on a daily basis saying, what are you going to do for me? There are two major supply constraints in the Irish economy right now, Claire. The first is the availability of really highly skilled, talented people. The universities just aren't resourced to produce enough of them. It's as simple as that. If we had more, we could do more. The second is, and most importantly by far, is housing. There's just nowhere to put these people. The population's rising, the household size is falling, and we're just not delivering. For a load of reasons. It's not as simple as, you know, there aren't enough builders, there aren't enough bricks, there isn't enough planning, blah blah blah. Every listener to this program has heard the excuses again and again and again. The reality is it just hasn't been delivered. And that is acting as a brake on the growth of this economy, which is a very bad thing. As in the next 10 years, we're going to have a much older society. We're going to face sharper headwinds in terms of the geopolitical outlook. And we're going to be in a situation where climate change is really going to start to bite. You're going to need loads of resources for all that. You need taxes to be generated for all that. You need people to be working, and those people need to be in houses.
Mm-hmm. But the counter argument to that, though, is, you know, we hear about multinationals and those who would say, well, they're just here to avail of the low corporate tax rate. But then when you hear from the multinationals and from organisations like the IDA and Enterprise Ireland, they'll say, no, they're here because of our language, our skilled workforce. They're very much embedded now in Ireland and their structures are here and they're unlikely to pick up and leave. Do you agree with that? And do you say the problem is on further expansion, that might be stopped?
I think it's completely natural for somebody selling Ireland to say, look, we're great fellas, we've got a brilliant education system, you know, geography and all that. That's all true. What's not said or what's implied is that the tax arrangements that we have don't hurt. And that's absolutely true. I think when you look at different types of FDI, they are quite different. We tend to broad brush them. Last week in the currency, I was looking at the pharma sector, and I went to the Eli Lilly plant, the launch in Limerick, where they're going to put €1 billion into the ground and employ 1,200 people before they even get started making medicines. They're going to have 300 or 400 amazing high skilled jobs of scientists, hopefully all educated in UL, but who knows? Anyway, this is a very difficult plant to get up and move, right? So what they put into the ground, they tend to leave there for 20 years, ditto with Intel and LeakSlip and so forth. Tech sector is quite different. It can move around quite easily if things change. So one FDI is not, dollar is not the same as another. The other major thing to say about this is all this is predicated on the structures of the international financial system staying the same. And they may not. Right. Mm-hmm. In fact, the one thing that we know about this, the start of this program, is that it's not the same, right? The BEPS process, base erosion and profit sharing schemes, that is there to change the system, right? And Ireland has to adapt to that. It will adapt. It'll be fine. But the most important thing here is that we present to multinationals and to the rest of the world in a particular way. Right. We present to them as, look, we're a business friendly, highly educated, you know, young workforce. Well, we are business friendly now. We are highly educated. Our workforce will no longer be young. In 2030, we'll be one of the older economies in Europe, in fact, were aging much more rapidly. And so that will be true by 2030, for example. So the demographics in terms of demand for higher education, what that actually means is we will see demand for young people, so 18 to 24, going down in the university system by 2029, just because of the demographics, you know. So these things change over time, and we'll have to alter our message in order to stay relevant.
All right. Well, we know that corporation tax receipts are likely to change, and we will see what the impact will be in time. Stephen Kinsler, Professor of Economics at the University of Limerick and also Chief Economics Writer at The Currency, thank you very much for speaking to us today. Now, shortly we're going to be talking about that startling fact that we learned about today, that bowel cancer in the under 50s has doubled between the years 1994 and 2019. Professor Humphrey O'Connell will be with us after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.